All right, I want to say good morning. Today's daf is Nun Ches Amud Aleph, and we are going to pick up on the last line of Nun Zayin Amud Aleph. A lot to do today. Okay, so I will say, remember, just to reorient ourselves a little bit, we're dealing with Yishmael from the village of Yama, who came along and raised a very intriguing and interesting point. And what was his question? He wanted to know about a Shemitah onion that you replant in the eighth year. And now what happens? The new eighth year growth exceeds the seventh year growth. So his shaila was, what's the status of the onion? Is the onion, do we go bust or the ikker? Do we literally look at just the origins of the onion? And since the origins of the onion are Shemitah in nature, therefore lemaisa, again, the onion itself is still going to be aser? Or do we say no, that now that there is additional year eight growth, that year eight growth comes along and is mevatel the year seven growth? That was Yishmael's kasha. And the way we left off yesterday is, you haven't focused. The truth is, we have different opinions going different ways. Remember, it was Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha who answered this question and seemed to indicate that Lamaisa, the year eight growth, goes ahead and is mevatel the year seven growth, based on Rabbi Yanai. But then Rabbi Yirmiyah came along and said that Rav Yitzchak Nafcha aligned himself with one opinion and forgot about the majority, the two other opinions, who halacha lamaisa said to the contrary. So both say, so now we begin with the last line. Ella min hada. Rather, if you have a kasha, it's from the following. This sanya. Rabbi Shimon says, kol davar sheyesh lo matirin, kegon tevel u'maiser sheni v'hekdish v'chadosh, lo nasnu bohen chachamim shir. We'll say, now we'll get into this really in depth in our discussions in Chulin. But Darvish Shlomatirin means something that is prohibited now, but ultimately either will become mutter just simply with the passage of time, or can become mutter if a person employs a certain set of circumstances. So Rabbi Shimon says, any item that ultimately is usher now but will become mutter, for he gives the examples of Tevel, untithed produce, which of course could become mutter by tithing it. Ma'aser sheni could be taken up to Yerushalayim and could be redeemed. Hekdish could be redeemed. And chadash. So in all of these cases, lo nasnu bohen chachamim shir. So we'll say the halacha is that these items are not batal. When it says lo nasnu bohen chachamim shir, it means these items are not batal. Look at the Ran for just a moment. Kol davar sheish lo matirin kigon tevel shenes arev b'chulin v'yesh lo matirin sheyachal lahafrish b'makom acher u'maisa sheni v'hektish yesh lohem heter b'pidia. So tevel can be, you could have chumas and maisa separated, therefore it's rectifiable. Maisa sheni and hektish can be redeemed. Chadash, remember Chadash Rabosei refers to the grain that was planted since last Pesach. So Chadash is Darvish Yishlo Matirin. Why? Because the Karban Omer permits it for consumption. And the Ran says, lo nasnu bohen chachamim shir sha'osrim v'choshu. So we'll say, if any of these items are mixed into a mixture, then they are not batal. Even no matter how much of the other permitted item you have, they are not batal. Because we'll say, essentially, again, without getting into the technical details of this, because it's really a chulin sugya, bittul is a mechanism that is used to remedy isser that cannot be fixed in any other way. But when you have isser that can be fixed in any other way, the mechanism of bittul is not employed. Therefore, if you have a davar sheyesh lo matirin, which means something that has isser, but that isser is rectifiable in some way, either again through the passage of time or through the commission of some other act. Therefore, if that item gets mixed in with other items, the usser item by definition is not batal. On the other hand, back to the Gemara, v'chol davar sheyesh lo matirin, but I will say anything. Excuse me. The chol davar shein lo matirin, but what we call a davar shein lo matirin, which means an item that is usser, and that isser status is permanent. Kigon, truma, for example, truma, portion of the coin. Trumas meiser. Remember again, trumas meiser. Ultimately, the levy gets meiser rishon, and the levy himself has to give a portion to the coin. It's interesting, right? Everyone has to. It's interesting because the levy, that's the levy's tithe. But even though the Levi gets his tithe, he still has to give to the Kohen. The Challah. Challah, of course, again, is the portion of the dough given to the Kohen. The Arla. And ultimately, again, Arla refers, remember, to the fruit of the first 3 years. Uklai HaKarib. Klai HaKarib refers to forbidden mixtures that grow in the vineyard. So in all of these cases, supposed to be because these are a Dover She'ilo Matirin, there is nothing to permit their prohibited status. Therefore, Nasnu Bahem Chachamim Shir. The rabbi said that each of these items are bottled in a mixture in different ratios. Just if you want to see it, if you go ahead and you take a look at the Ran again for just one moment, Nasnu Chachamim, Nasnu Bahem Chachamim Shir, Shafilin is Arbu Baminon Betalin. Truma, Truma Smeiser V'Chala, Bimea. So I'll say, for example, Truma, Truma Smeiser and Chala are bottled in a mixture of a ratio of 100 to 1. So if you have 100 parts, permitted parts, to one part, Chala, Truma, or Truma Smeiser, ultimately it will be bottled. Uklaya Kerem V'Masayim. Rabbi says, Uklaya Kerem, which means forbidden mixtures in a vineyard, ultimately those are going to be usher in a ratio of 200 to 1. Fine. So the Gemara says, so Amrulo. So they said to him, so we'll say, this is all the statement of Rabbi Shimon. Okay. So far, nothing all that controversial. But they said to Rabbi Shimon, Amrulo, Vahalo Shavias, Ein Lo Matirin. Aye, but what about Shemitah? Right? But what about Shemitah? Shemitah produce, interestingly enough, I would assume, is a Dover She'ein Lo Matirin. Right? They both say, if you have produce that grows in the Shemitah year, what can you do to remedy that Shemitah status? And the answer is nothing. So that's a Dover She'ein Lo Matirin. Now, remember, let's follow the paradigm. According to Rabbi Shimon, if you have a Dover She'ein Lo Matirin, so what's the halacha in terms of bittul? It will be bittul. Right? It will be bittul. Again, now, remember, the ratio of bittul may change item to item. That doesn't really concern us for now. But the idea is that there will be a mechanism of bittul for this particular item. So the Gemara says the following. V'halo shvius in lo matirin. So he said to Rabbi Shimon, but 1 second, Shemitah produce is a davar she'in lo matirin. Mary, if you look at the Rush for just a moment. So the Rush says over here, shvius in lo matirin. Anything ultimately, again, that grows during the Shemitah, it requires beer. Rabbi say now, again, just quickly, beer is the process like this. When you, in the Shemitah year, everything is hefker. Now, it's hefker for everyone. Let's say I have a field, and I have apples in my field. So I can go out to my field, pick all of my apples, and store it in my silo, store it in my pantry. It's fine. It's hefker for me also. I'm not any more of a disadvantage than anyone else. So same way anyone else can take it, I, the original owner of the field, can take it as well. There's a din of beer. Beer says that you can only store produce in your home while it is readily available in the fields. Once it's no longer readily available in the fields, you can store it in large quantities in your home. It's interesting. In Eretz Yisrael, they put out these lists as to what, you know, now towards the end of the Shemitah year, as to what is still available in the fields and what you could readily store in larger quantities in your home and what you can't. So listen to this. So said Rabbi Shimon, Shemitah is a davar she'in lo matirin, and yet the Chachamim didn't give a shear for bittul. Right? The Chachamim did not tell me how much, what's the ratio for bittul when it comes to Shemitah. This now, listen to this. Hashvius oseres kol shu b'mino. We learned that if Shemitah produce gets mixed in with other items, other like items, then what's the halacha? So Shemitah produce asers even in the smallest amounts. So they're asking Akasha ultimately again on Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi said, look at the Ran for just a moment. Hashvius oseres b'chol shu b'mino. Bein b'tarov es peros heter b'shal shvius. Bein b'gidulin k'gom b'atzal shishish shenatu b'shvius. Rabbi said, now here's what's interesting is the following. Now, this case has two ramifications, says the Ran. So the classic way to understand this case over here would be that what this means is if you have a Shemitah onion that gets mixed in with other onions, even if there are 1,000 other onions, the Shemitah onion is not bottle. The other ramification of this case is if you had a Shemitah onion that grew in the 6th year, and then what? And then you went ahead and you replanted it, and it grew even a little bit in the 7th year, that what? That the onion would now become usser. So they're asking on Rabbi Shimon, how could this be? If you espoused the rule before that a davar she'ein lo matirin, something that is never permitted, is bottle, is negated at a certain point in time, so how could it be that Shemitah produce is never bottle? Listen to this. Amar Lahen, to which Rabbi Shimon said, Af ani lo amarti ela lebir. The truth is, I only stated my halacha in terms of beer, aval la'achila b'no sein tam. But when it comes to achila, then Shemitah produce will in fact be usher in any b'no sein tam, literally in the amount that infuses taste. Now what does this mean? Take a look at the Ran for just a moment again. See, he says, Amar Lahem afheim lo amru ela lebir. When we say that Shemitah produce is usur, even in the smallest amount, when it gets mixed in with other like items, Shimon says, when they said that Shemitah is like a davar she'in lo matirin, when they say that Shemitah is asr b'chol shu in any amount, they weren't talking about the isr of achila. They were talking about beer. Remember what I just said, mentioned before? Beer means what? That you have to consume certain Shemitah produce by a particular time. So what Rabbi Shimon was saying is like this. If you have a little bit of Shemitah produce that got mixed in with a whole bunch of other produce, even though the Shemitah produce is only a small amount, it's not quote-unquote bottle in the mixture, and therefore the entire mixture is subject to the laws of beer. However, aval achila, when it comes to consumption, but no same time, what does that mean? So take a look again at the Ran once more. So Ran zavav achila, kilomar, im nisarvu la'achar habir. If let's say again, Shemitah produce was mixed in with other produce after the time of beer, shimyehu asu osrim ta'aruvason, lo sharu ba'achila, bein b'minan, bein shalo b'minan, but no same time. So we'll say the idea, however, here is that if Shemitah produce, according to Rabbi Shimon, Shemitah produce actually gets mixed in with other items, so the Shemitah produce is only not bottle if it, quote unquote, is dominant enough that it can infuse taste. But if it's so outnumbered in the mixture that it wouldn't infuse any type of really qualitative taste, then lemaisa it's bottle. Now what does this teach us? Alma, gidulin einon nimshachin achar ha'ikar, lihios kamahu. Now we'll say, now the upshot of this entire sugya is what? Is that lemaisa, when something grows, it is not automatically treated like the primary item. Lios kamahu. So now we'll say, because remember again, one of the examples that Rabbi Shimon brought in his discussion over here was a 6-year onion that was replanted in year 7. And what did Rabbi Shimon say? That any level of growth on year 7 will essentially go ahead and cause the onion to be treated like a Shemitah onion. So what do we see comes from here? We see from here that Lamaisa, if you take an item and you replant it, those new growths are not automatically treated again like the previous growths. That's the upshot of this entire discussion for our purposes. Because remember, that's what we're trying to figure out in this greater sugya. You take an item, whether again it's a Shemitah item or whether it's a Truma item, and you replant it, and now there's new growths, and those new growths are taking place in a different state in which the other growths occurred. What is the status of the new growth? So the Ran says, you see, based on this entire discussion, Alma gidulin einon nimshachin achara ikar lihios kamahu. We see from here that additional growths are not automatically reckoned with the original growth, that they should be like them. Di'ihachi heich te'esar shviyas begiduleha elavadei ein gidulin ki ikar. Therefore, also we see from here that what? That new growth is not treated like old growth, and therefore halach lemaisa would have, not halach lemaisa, but it would appear based on this discussion that if you have enough new growth, more than the old growth, that what? That what? That the new growth could be mevatel the old growth and actually go ahead and determine the identity of the item. So the Gemara says, one second. V'dilma nami halachumra. V'dilma, excuse me. V'dilma hanami luchumra shayni. To which the Gemara answers, but one second, maybe you can't bring a raya over here, because also we said this at the end of yesterday's sugya as well. Maybe this is just l'chumra. Maybe what we're taking over here is we're taking a chumradic stance. That when do we say that the new leaves are not bottled to the old ones, and that potentially the new leaves could determine the identity of the item. That's only when it's l'chumra. But if it's l'kula, we would not say that. Now remember, loop this all the way back. So look at the Rana for just a moment. V'dachi le dilmaha nami l'chumra, ava medina li olam emas l'cha shagidul harin keker. So also remember, if you contrast these cases, the original case of Yishmael Ish Kfar Yama was a kula case. Because remember, what was he saying? I'm taking a shmita onion, all right? And when am I replanting it? I'm planting it in year 8. And now in year 8, additional growth grows and it even outnumbers, or exceeds, the year 7 growth. That's a kula case. The Gemara wants to bring a proof from here, from this case over here, by Shemitah, that you see from here, that the new leaves can in fact go ahead and determine the identity of the plant if they outnumber the old growth. To which the Gemara says, maybe you can't bring a rye from here because this case is l'chumra. Yishmael's case, ultimately again, if you go ahead and you say that the new growth exceeds the old growth and is mevatel the old growth, yields a kula. Perhaps we only state this concept when it yields for us a stringent result, but not a lenient one. Elamin hadda pashta. The Gemara says, we can resolve this from the following idea. This nan. B'tzolim shiyardu aleim yishamim v'tzamchu. Listen to this case. If you have onions that it rained upon them. Now the Rush says over here, "Bitzalim shiardu aleim gishamim, bitzalim shel shishis shenichnesu l'shvias tzamchus." So also listen to this. These are year six onions. So you have onions that were plucked from the ground on year 6, and what happens? And it rained again on them, and what happens? Bitzamchu, and they sprouted even more. So what's the halacha in such a situation like this? So the Gemara says. Im hayu olin shalahen shchorin, if their leaves of the onion were black, asurin, then the onion is asur. Now what's the pshat? Look at the ran for just a moment. It's the third Y line in the ran. Im hayu olin shalahen shchorin asurin, lav shchorin mam, which doesn't literally mean black, elinotin l'shachros, rather, they're dark, sheze mochiach shegidolan yafe, asurin. So also here's the interesting part, is if the leaves themselves are dark, that shows ultimately again that they are vital, and therefore again they must have grown from Shemitah soil, and therefore they're asur. So also the case over here also must be the onions weren't totally dislodged from the ground. They were ready to pluck, but they're still, meaning they primarily grew in year 6, but there's some additional growth again in year number 7. So if it's clear, what the Gemara is saying is like this, if it's clear that there's additional year 7 growth from the ground, then that's determined by blackened leaves, then the onions are usher. Why are the onions usher? Because now there's Shemitah growth. On the other hand, Horiku Mutarin, if the leaves are pale, then that shows that there was some growth, but the growth ultimately wasn't really from the ground. Then lemaisa, again, the onions are permitted. Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus says, Im yecholin litalshan ba'olin shalahen, if you could pull the onion out of the ground by the leaves, then Asur and Abel said, that shows that the leaves are strong, which shows that it's being nourished from the ground. Then the onion is Asur because it's a Shemitah onion. U'kenegdan l'matzei shvias. Mutar. And Abel said, remember, whatever is true going from year 6 to year 7 is also true going from year 7 to year 8. So for example, if you had a Shemitah onion that grew in year 7, but it was still on the ground in year number 8, and then it grew more in year number 8. So again, same thing. If the leaves are black in year number 8 and you can pull it out from the top, that shows that it's a year 8 onion and not a year 7 onion. Now I will say, now remember again, so what do you see from this whole sugya? What's the takeaway? The takeaway is that new growth is not treated like what? Like what? Like the previous growth. And therefore again, once I say that, the next logical step in that statement is, therefore, if the new growth exceeds the old growth, then ultimately, again, the identity of the item is determined by the new growth and not by the old growth. To which the Gemara says, one second, v'dilma b'meduchin, maybe this is a case of where the bulbs of the onions were crushed. Now, what does that mean? Take a look at the Ran for just a moment. V'dilma b'meduchin, shedach v'shachak v'tzalim, v'cheivan d'meduchin ninu gri'i, v'lo memashki gidulan basrayo. So, also, maybe the case over here is where I pulled it out of the ground, let's say on year number 6, and then I went ahead and I beat up, I wanted to replant it, but I crushed the bulb first. So in that case where you crush the bulb, the original growth essentially is negated, and therefore again, any new growth obviously will be dominant over the previous growth. To which the Gemara says, Ella min hada. Fine, the Gemara says, fine, so if you can't bring a proof from this one, I'm going to bring you a proof from the next one. This Sanya, because we learned. What did we learn? This is an interesting case also. Hamenachesh im hakusi. So we'll say, if a person is going ahead and pruning plants with a kusi. Now remember again, we'll say, we've learned about the kusim many times, right? So the kusim, remember again, were this nation that were resettled in Eretz Yisrael by Shalmaneser, the king of Ashur. And what happens? They were idolaters. And they brought their idolatry to Eretz Yisrael. Because they brought their idolatry, there was an outbreak of lions. Right? Lions are not indigenous to Eretz Yisrael. So there was an outbreak of lions. And what happened? They realized that it was the God of Israel who was upset at them. So they converted. The problem is, they were still found to be worshipping idolatry. And therefore, again, there's a whole discussion. We've seen it already a number of times, as to the status of the kusim. Are kusim Jews? Are kusim not Jews? What is their status, legabe klal Yisrael? So the general approach is that there are certain things that kusim were known to be proficient in, and whatever they were known to be proficient in, they essentially have the status of Yisrael, and things that they're not proficient in, they have the status of an akum, of an idolater, of a non-Jew. So if someone is pruning with a kusi, bachasios. We'll see later on what chasios actually means. Some type of plant. So I'm pruning. But also, just by the way, if you don't know what pruning is, the Ran tells us, which is helpful. Hamenachish, malakit alin yaserin. You're cutting off extra leaves. Right? So that's all right. So I'm pruning. I'm pruning a plant with the kusi. So what's talacha? Ochal mehen achila sarai, or me'asrin vadeh. So we'll say, I am permitted to eat of the plant, achila sarai. Right? Achila sarai means a snack. But I have to tithe the plant in a full-fledged fashion. Now, what does this mean? Take a look at the Ran for just a moment. Ochel mehen arai, velo chai shinon, shema kodem shezram, hutvulu lemeiser, dechevan demeiser dido midrabanan ba'alma, hu lo chai shinon lahachi. So we'll say, the issue over here is, perhaps I'd have the following concern. Perhaps these items were already plucked from the ground again. See, it appears, that I guess there were situations where, let's say, someone plucked something from the ground. Perhaps it wasn't mature enough, or wasn't ready enough, or you felt it could grow more, and you would put it back in. What the Gemara is talking about over here is, here I'm pruning with the kusi. Do I have to be concerned that perhaps the kusi at some point in time had actually already picked these items and then replanted them? Now, the chaf over here is, if he picked them already, then they are subject to the laws of meiser. Which means that if you then replant them, so let me go back 1 second. The halacha is that you are permitted to eat achila sarai. You're permitted to eat a snack from produce, from an item, even before it's tithed, up until the point that it's piled in the granary. Once it's piled in the granary, you can't eat anything from it, even achila sarai. So the Gemara is saying over here that if somebody is pruning with a kusi, one need not be concerned that the items that they're pruning were previously picked, therefore subject to meiser, and therefore can't even eat an achila sarai from it, but rather you could assume they were never picked, and therefore you can eat an achila sarai, and you have to take, at the time after you pick them, you have to go ahead and take real 100% bona fide meiser from it. Fine. So look, continue. Now the Ran actually points out over here, that's because we're dealing over here with items that grow from the ground, like vegetables. Those things are only subject to the laws of Ma'aser Midrabanan anyway, and therefore one could go ahead and be lenient. Now the Ran also writes over here, Ma'asrin Vadai, Dikim Lan Be Shelo Iser. The assumption is these items were not yet tithed. Fine. Now Rishimanalazar says, Im Yisrael Choshud Ala Shvius. Listen to this. If you have Yisrael, ultimately, who is suspected of not keeping Shemitah, then what? L'motzei Shviyas Mutar. Then the items are permitted after Shemitah. Now, what does this mean? Take a look at the Ran again. L'motzei Shviyas Mutar. L'echol Oson Olin. Shagadlu B'Sheminis. De'vadai Gidu Lehen Rabin Al Iker. Isser Hamur Ben. Oh, listen to this. So now you have, Rabbi Shimon Allah is just saying, let's say I have a neighbor. My Jewish neighbor does not keep Shemitah. You know, one of the beautiful things, if you drive in Eretz Yisrael now, so you pass by these huge fields and they have these big signs. Actually, right from the airport you see it. And it says, Kan Shomrim Shmita Kahalocha. It's very, 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 very inspiring to see. So let's say I have my neighbor. He has a sign up. Kan Ein Shomrim Shmita Kahalocha. Right? So right, he's, listen, the person's proud of who he is. Now, the truth is that case actually wouldn't work. But this is a case of Chashud. I suspect that just because of things that I've seen that he's not really keeping Shemitah Kahalacha. So now what happens? So now listen to this. So Shimon Elazar says, obviously I can't eat that produce on Shemitah, but let's say that produce continues to grow into year 8. So Shimon Elazar says, after Shemitah, I can eat that produce in year 8, and it means I can eat year 7 produce in year 8. Why? Because again, the Gemara, the Ran explains, because we assume that since there's additional year 8 growth, that year 8 growth exceeds the year 7 growth and does what? And does what? And essentially is mevatel the year 7 growth. Oh, so what do you see from here? You see from here, first of all, two things are both. Like, number one, that new growth is not automatically reckoned like old growth. And number two, that if the new growth exceeds the old growth, it is the new growth that determines the identity of the item. To which the Gemara says, Lameimra. So what are you telling me now that this means that the new permitted growth, which means the year 8 growth, has the ability to be mevatel the old or the usher, the Shemitah growth, the Dilma, b'davar shezaraka? So the Gemara says, but 1 second, maybe what this is talking about over here, the type of plant we're talking about over here is where what? Where the seed decomposes. We discussed this yesterday. So what's the chap? You see, what the Gemara is saying is like this. I have a little bit of an easier time swallowing this concept that new growth could go ahead and be mevatel old growth if what? If what? If essentially there's no vestige of the old growth left. Or I should say, if there's no identifiable piece of the old growth left. So if there's zarokalif, literally the seed decomposes, which means the very seed which was the origin of this growth is no longer there, maybe that's when we say that if new growth exceeds old growth, new growth could be mevatel old growth. But if the seed is actually there, it's hard to say that the new growth should be able to determine the identity of the plant. So the Dilma, so maybe I'll agree with you, Gemara says, even if I want to agree with you, that if new growth exceeds old growth, new growth could go to be mevatel old growth, maybe that's only in a situation of bedavar shezarakala, maybe that's only in a situation of where the seed itself decomposes. So Gemara says, 1 second, can't be. I'll tell you why. Hatayin, because what is the Braisa talking about? Elohim Chasios. You also remember again, the case of the Braisa was I'm pruning with the Kusi with Chasios, and the case of Shemitah is also Chasios. What are Chasios? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what they are. Kigon, for example, Haluf. So we'll say, what is Luf? If you look in the Rush, the first wide line in the Rush, Haluf min Kitnisu. It's a type of legume. Luf is a type of legume. Legume. Ve'in zarokalo. But the idea we'll say is what? Its seed does not decompose. Hashum, onion, or I should say garlic, bitsalim, onions. So we'll say the idea over here is these are items where the seed does not decompose. At least the luf, the seed does not decompose. So therefore, you see that the Braisa is stating this ruling that the new growth, if the new growth exceeds the old growth, if the new growth can literally determine the identity of the plant, even in situations where the seed does not compose. The Dilma b'meduchin, maybe again we're talking about a situation where the original bulb was crushed and put back into the ground. So in that case, okay, I could hear that the old growth, because now it's crushed, is kind of somewhat negated, and therefore the new growth becomes dominant, to which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why that can't be true. Choshud ala shviyas katani. Because what did the Braisa say? The Braisa is talking about someone who is choshud on Shemitah, meaning he's chashud, he's suspected of not keeping Shemitah. Look at the Ran for just a moment. Chashud katani, velo tarach bahachi. The only reason that you would go ahead and dislodge the item, dislodge the plant, and crush the bulb is because you don't want it to be Shemitah produce. You want to kind of circumvent, because we also think about this, if you crush the bulb, then replant it, and therefore dominant growth takes place in year number 8, it's not Shemitah produce. That works fine for someone who cares about Shemitah, but for someone who doesn't care about Shemitah, he's not going to go through the process of crushing the bulb and then ultimately replanting it. V'dilma, v'tarobes. Maybe we're talking about a case over here of what? Of a mixture. So look at Rashi now for just a moment. Rashi is not in the widest lines, but in the middle lines, first wide line. V'dilma tarobes. Shem uravin osan chasios Maybe the case over here is where these chasios of Shemitah were mixed in with other chasios, permitted chasios. And I'm eating it through a mixture. Because in this case over here, again, I don't know which is the iser. So we'll say maybe the case over here of where I permit these chasios is only a case of where the item itself is being mixed in with other permitted items. So which the Gemara says it can't be why. Because that's not the case. The case over there we're talking about is where they're literally pruning the field. So the Gemara says, Lema tehev. So we'll say, so therefore it would appear, based on this case, that what? That Lamaisa, we have successfully proven that two things, which are kind of corollaries of one another. Number one, that new growth is not, the identity of new growth is not what? Is not determined by old growth. Now, also remember again, I'm sorry, before I say that. So it appears that the bottom line interpretation of this case is that if there is a Yisrael who is chashud on Shavuos, he's suspect of not keeping Shemitah. So then what happens, however, his seventh year produce grows into the eighth year. And the eighth year growth outnumbers, exceeds the original growth. Then what does the Braisa seem to say? That the item is permitted. So you see from this Braisa two things. Number one, that new growth, the identity of new growth is not determined by old growth. And number two, that what? That if new growth exceeds old growth, that new growth is able to mevatel old growth. So it seems we've successfully proven that point. And I will say, based on this, it would appear that we answered Yishmael's question. And I will say, which means again, so this was Yishmael's question, right? Yishmael's question was, I have a Shemitah onion, I replanted, it grows more in year 8, there's more year 8 growth than there is year 7 growth. So therefore, what's the answer to Yishmael? Onion is permitted. That's what it sounds like now. To which the Gemara says, V'leima tehevet yuftet Rabbi Yochanan v'Rabbi Yonasan. Rabbi said, there's only one problem. What's the one problem? Remember, in yesterday's daf, we quoted two other opinions, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yonasan, who both hold that what? That new growth has the same status as old growth. So what do they do with this particular Mishnah? Amrad Yitzchak Shanya Shavuos. So Rabbi Yitzchak, first of all, says, Shemitah is in a different category, right? You can't bring any rayas from Shemitah because Shemitah is just simply treated differently. What does that mean? Holyo v'isura al yidei karka, v'telasa nami al yidei karka. Both say this is very interesting. So Yitzchak will say, Rabbi Yonasan will say that Shemitah is different. Why is Shemitah different? Because since Shemitah, the isur of Shemitah ultimately again is the ground, is the earth. Therefore, the same way that the Isra of Shemitah originates in the earth, therefore also what? Therefore, the tikkun for Shemitah could originate in the earth. Meaning that if it's year 7 soil that makes the plant usur, so therefore what? It should be year 8 soil that makes the plant permitted. In other words, what Rabbi Yonasan is saying is really something that is quite interesting. Look what he writes. He says, Hoyol v'isura ayde karka, since the Isser of Shavuos is phrased in relation to the land, it's not phrased in relation ultimately to the produce, but in terms of the land, just with the same way the land in year 7 creates Isser, it makes sense to say that if there's more year 8 growth in the earth, therefore again that year 8 growth should come along and be mevatel the Isser of year number 7. However, here, we'll say if you take a look, look at the Ran for just a moment. Shanya Shavuos, Shehoyo v'Yisura Ayidei Karka, Kedichsev, V'Shavsa Aretz, V'Teilasa Ayidei Karka, that ultimately, again, the same way that the Isra is created through the land, the Bittel of the Isra also comes through the land, Masha'im came, Arla, T'chisar Zman Garam La Yisura, U'Kilai Nami Tarovus with the Karam. So we'll say, if you contrast it, for example, Arla, why is Arla Asar? Arla doesn't really have to do with the earth. Everything has to do with the earth because it all grows from the earth. But the Isra doesn't come from the earth. Where does the Isra come from? By Arla? It's time. Klai HaKerem comes from what? The fact that you're mixing things together. It's a very interesting nuanced point. The Isra of Shemitah, says Rabbi Yonasan, is the only Isra that comes from the earth itself. Because the earth is quote-unquote Asr, therefore the produce is Asr. So it makes sense to say if the Isra comes from the earth, that should mean therefore in year 8, where the earth is no longer Asr, if there's more year 8 growth, then the plant itself should be permitted. It's a fascinating distinction. Therefore, again, the Gemara says, Hari Meiser, but one second, the Gemara challenges this. What about Meiser? The Isuro al Yidei Karko. So we'll say, I could say the same thing by Meiser, Bosse. Now, what does this mean? That Meiser ultimately, again, its Isser also comes from the earth. If you look, Meiser also, the Isser comes from the earth. Ve'in b'telosu ayde karka, but yet again, the Meiser does not become bottle through the earth. How do we know this? Tisanyo, litra Meiser tevel, shezara b'karka. Let's listen to this case. Let's say you have, litra is a measurement. So let's say you have a litra of produce that was not properly tithed. So what's the halacha? Here, we'll say, if you take a look at Rashi, actually here, this is the first wide line in Rashi. Rashi says, Hari Meiser, Litra Meiser Tevel, Litra Shal Tevel, Shorim Menu Truma, Meiser Rishon, Aval Gabi Halevi, Habi Tevel, Dakati Lo Tarim Menu Meiser Mena Meiser, Dani Trumas Meiser. The Zara Bekarka, Kishenim Wisar. So we'll say, what's the case over here? You have produce that you partially tithe. You took away Truma and Meiser Rishon, but the Levi did not go ahead and remove his Trumas Meiser part. And then what did you do? You went ahead and you replanted it. You replanted it. So what's the halacha? The hishpicha. And ultimately, again, it became improved. Now, all of this is happening before the Shemitah year. And now it is improved on the Shemitah year. Now, remember, what's the status of Trumas and Maestros on a Shemitah year? There are none. Right, there is no chiyah for Trumas and Maestros on a Shemitah year, ultimately again, because everything is hefker. So listen to this. So now, I took produce that was partially tithed, is now in year 6. I replanted, it now grows more on year 7. So what's the halacha? Vahari hi ke'esra litra. Now let's say it experiences tenfold growth, right? It grows 10 times larger than it was. So what's the halacha? Chayeves b'meiser u'b'shvias. So let's say, interestingly enough, it has the halachas of both meiser. It has a chiyuv of meiser, but also chiyuv of shmita. Look at the Ran for just a moment. Chayeves meiser, haynu meiser mina meiser, shahaisa chayeves bo kodim shezara, velo batla debetiri b'shvias mishum dehav kereninu. So let's say, he still has to remove the trumas meiser from this produce that was not yet removed. So again, the meiser status still devolves upon the crop. Ubishvius, but it's also governed by the laws of Shemitah, namely, Shetzarach Levar Esakol Kodim Zmana Beer, that you have to get rid of everything from inside the house before the time of beer. So it's a very interesting anomaly. So on one hand, this was year 6 produce that you replanted, and it grew. And by the way, the case over here is where its new Shemitah growth exceeds the original year 6 growth. And what's the halacha? The halacha is, it's still reckoned like year 6 growth, and therefore again you have to tithe it, but it's also reckoned like what? Like Shemitah growth. So what do you see from here? What do you see from here? Va'osa litra maser alemi makom achar lefi cheshbon. But the chap over here is that when you remove the additional meiser from this, you can't remove that meiser from that which actually grew on the 7th year. Why? Because that is partial shmita sanctity as well, which is not subject to tithes. So when you tithe it, you have to tithe it from a different location. Rabosai, but what do you see from here? Remember again, we wanted to follow the progression here. So we thought for a moment that we think that we've answered our question. Namely, what was our question that's been driving us for the last 2 days? If I have an item that grew, the item that grew in a particular state, and then I replanted it, and it grew more, and the new growth exceeded the old growth. So what's the status of the item? We think that we've successfully answered that question. The answer is that if the new growth exceeds the old growth, then the new growth is mevatel the old growth, and the status of the new growth determines the status of the plant. Fine. The Gemara says, oh, just by the way, that poses a problem to the two opinions we quoted yesterday, namely Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yonasan, because both of them were of the opinion that even if new growth exceeds old growth, the status of the plant is determined by how? By the original old growth. To which Rabbi Yonasan responds, you're bringing a raya from Shemitah. Shemitah is not a good raya, and I'll tell you why. Because Shemitah is different. Because since the Isra of Shemitah comes from the ground, therefore what? It makes sense that if there's non-Shemitah growth, year 8 growth, that year 8 growth could be mevatel the Shemitah growth. But in other situations, that's not the case. Versus one second, by the way, what about Meiser? Meiser, the Isra also comes from the ground, and yet what do we see from here? We see that even though the Isra of Meiser comes from the ground is not Mevatel, the Isra of Meiser. How do we see that, Rabosai? Because look, in this case, I took produce that was not properly tithed, or not fully tithed, year six produce, I replanted it. Now what happens? It's a Shemitah year. The Shemitah growth exceeds the year sixth growth. And yet, what do we still see? That the produce is still subject to Meiser. So what do you see from here? That even something where the Isser comes from the ground is not Mevatel the Isser. So that contradicts what we just said before, to which the Gemara says, top of the test, we'll say, well, this will stop. Omri, Meiser digun hu de gagarim le. It's not true. It's not really the earth that ultimately creates the Isser for Meiser. That's not really it. Rather, what creates the obligation for Meiser? Digun. If you take a look at the Ran for just a moment, he says, "Asha'ayide digun meiser digun hu dekagaram le sha'ayide digun mischaye b'meiser v'lo ayide karka." It's not the earth that really generates the Isra meiser. We'll say, when does an item become subject to trumas and meisers? Really, we call meiser now when it's piled. Right? Digun means the process of piling. Only once it's piled does it become subject in meiser. Therefore, again, this discussion of meiser does not pose a contradiction to what we said before. So bottom line. The Gemara seems to be comfortable, we're not finished yet, we're going to continue tomorrow, but the Gemara seems to be comfortable with the assertion that the additional growth is not automatically determined by initial growth, and that if additional growth exceeds original growth, that the identity of the plant, of the item, could be determined by the additional growth. Now, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yonasan themselves have to justify their position, because they held that additional growth is subject to the same status as the original growth. So that kasha on them ultimately still remains to be seen, or seems still remains to be resolved, and Emir Tashem will continue with this tomorrow.
The question is only